Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. It's been a bit of a delay in getting some podcasts out recently as we've just moved to sunny Gibraltar and we are loving life. Delighted we moved here. Talk a little bit about this on today's podcast. One of the guys who did our mastermind, Ian Benjamin, I brought him onto the podcast and he said, you know what, let me interview you. And I said, okay. So we had a bit of crack. Talked a bit about my journey, Charlotte's journey, and what got us to this point. Why Gibraltar? Why did we leave the UK and all of that? So, hope you guys enjoy it. We are so busy, and I hope you are too, because the market is absolutely flying. There's some scarecrows out there. One of them, namely Andy Hallett, who's telling me that the market may turn. And some of his clients are seeing a bit of a reduce in job flow. And a few other people are telling me there is just some warning signals out there in the market. So hopefully we get another couple of years of this amazing boom market. But if not, you need to make sure you got the best tech, you got your systems really good, get your people well trained and batten down the hatches. So today's podcast is brought to you by Sourcewell, Luxo, Bold Identities, and Sourcebreaker. And we've used all these tools in our own business. I continue to use them, and it's working out really well. So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can use technology to better your business, just hit us up. We do lots of things now, so just before I jump into the podcast, we are a rec-to-rec primarily, but we have an advisory business that Charlotte runs. We have our mastermind program for startups and independent recruiters. We provide virtual assistance for recruitment firms. We do back office into recruitment firms, so your TA, your L&D, and your operations type roles. So very busy. And I'm sure you are too. But if you want to be around people just like you, we have our free community, RecWired. All you have to do is be an MD or a owner of a recruitment business, and we will match you in a group that is most suitable to your size and success level. And it's all free. And you can get all the information you need on what's happening in the market, the best tech, the best processes, who's doing what, how to internationalize. But hit me up. Feel free, I am always available, and probably easiest way to catch me is on LinkedIn. So just drop me a connection and I will get back to ASAP. All right, have a wonderful day. All right, welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. Got a very special guest today. All 7 foot of them. Mr. Ian Benjamin, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Yeah, a little bit ropey, a few beers last night, but yeah, I'm quite impressed with my form today, considering.
Yeah, so, you still have a constitution?
Yeah. Say that again, sorry?
You still have a good constitution for the old beverages?
I do indeed, yeah.
Good man. Okay, bit of context here. Been in touch with Ian a lot over the years. He did our mastermind program, and he's a big man on doing diversity and inclusion and using media in recruitment. He's built himself a nice little agency as well. So Ian said he's going to turn the tables on me a little bit today.
And
he said, no problem, no better man to speak about himself than me. So it's all you, my friend.
Cool. Well, I mean, I just want to kind of find out, speaking on behalf of the recruitment sector, so give us a bit of a, how did it all start for you? I know you worked for Robert Walters, but where was that and where were you?
Strangely, when I was in school, well, I was never very, very good at school, but I did the whole uni thing. And I was always more interested in reading those prospectus than actually doing the courses. I was obsessed with jobs and all of that. I've always been interested in it. And I tried to get into recruitment when I finished my degree. And I just got turned down by everybody.
And really? So, and when was this then? And where was you? What university were you at?
I have finished my postgrad in Northern Ireland in the University of Ulster, and I just about scraped through that, to be honest. And I scraped through a
Okay.
degree before that.
What was it? What did you do your degree in?
Business and marketing,
Okay.
and my postgrad. And I lived in Donegal, which is a very remote place. You know, it's really the end of the world. And like, we've no business connections there back then. So I had to go and get the bus up to Dublin. And I remember doing a couple of interviews and then going to see the Bourne Identity movie and then getting the bus home.
Oh, really?
That's how long ago it was. And yeah, I just got binned out of the interview each time. Just,
With recruitment companies.
yeah, they were like, you're not cut out for it, or you're not. You know, at that age, like, I would have taken it personal. I thought, oh, maybe I'm not. You know, all right, I'll go do anything, go do something else. Anyway, went and I worked in Brussels for years, worked in bars, worked in nightclubs, worked in call centers, had an awesome loose time, got to about 27 and ended up in Australia, met my wife, ended up picking beans on a farm, needed to get a visa. And she suggested, hey, why don't you try and get into recruitment? I'm gonna. I was lucky, I landed in Perth. I had a couple of offers, went through a process, talked to a few different companies, and just got in. It made sense and kind of
Right.
shot
So you did
right
over
place,
that period
right
of time.
time.
So how long was that journey then? So from when you got rejected and then you went traveling, done the Europe thing and got to how many years was that?
Six, 7 years,
Right. So you
maybe.
kind of grew into a little a young man then. You kind of like something changed, right?
Yeah, I suppose, like, bartending and running nightclubs and doing all of that, you learn a bit more about how to deal with people and like a bit more about the world and speaking to people, and like, you become a bit
Absolutely.
more traveled. And working in recruitment and of an agency, there's a lot of drinking, you know. There's a lot
Yeah.
of there it's not too dissimilar to like working in hospitality in many ways, except you have to, it's daytime instead of nighttime. And there was a lot of transferable skills there, and I was ready. Like, I was
Right.
like, because I'd cleaned ashtrays at 6 in the morning, I'd thrown drunks out of a bar, I'd ran teams of doormen, I'd done it all in that space. And it
Yeah,
wasn't
I think you probably
really,
also found out about yourself as well. Kind of your confidence grew, you kind of knew a bit more about who you were as a
well,
person.
yes, or maybe it knocked a few stripes out of me. Maybe, you know, like, I probably was a bit cocky or a bit cocksure. And then working in a tough environment late at night for a long time, I think I probably thought that was, I didn't think I'd get a professional job. I thought maybe that ship had sailed, just young man stuff, you know. And then going to Australia was almost like, I need to get away from all of this madness, all this drinking and late night stuff. It just kind of went there and was 26, 27, worked in the gym, did quite well in gym sales, and then yeah, did the thing on the farm and got in. And but just right time, and I was the right age for it, and I was mature
Okay.
enough, you know.
Gotcha. So how long were you in Australia before you met Charlotte?
Not long, like maybe a month, 2 months,
Right,
and
okay.
then she headlocked me from there.
Ah.
I sold her a gym membership,
Oh,
and she rang up to complain that I'd oversold her and I hadn't told her about the details and all the rest. Some of that was
that
true,
sounds
but
so much like her.
didn't
I
matter,
can
man. I
just.
was top salesman that month.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. I can totally imagine her doing that as well. Just, you know, going
Oh
through the
yeah.
benefits of me again, etc. So what did you do? So you invited her in and then that was it, pretty much.
Yeah, she couldn't resist me.
I want to see her reaction when she watches this back.
Yeah.
So but no, so that was it. So you met Charlotte there, and you was in Perth, is that right? You said?
Yeah. So got into Perth, and it
Yeah.
was boom time, right? So like, it was a real fun time. Like, my soccer team that I played for was made up of like half the guys from my primary school. It was like my whole village, and I'd been in Europe, I'd been away out of this, but my whole village that I originally grew up in descended into Perth.
No way.
Yeah,
Wow.
big construction town, and there was a recession then, obviously back here in 2010, and in Ireland especially, and all the construction guys just wanted to work in the mine. So I got to hang out and almost have this second childhood whilst getting this professional career at the same time. So lots of working, lots of partying, no responsibility. We had a double income. It was just an awesome time for a good 3 years in Perth, 4 years in Australia altogether.
Right, okay, gotcha. So Perth, so you're hanging out with your buddies, and then during that playing football, and then during that period, you got into recruitment as well. Yeah. And but just can't believe that your mates were there. So you knew they were there when you were in
No, they
Europe.
all just started coming, and like I just kind of landed there, and then friends of friends arrived. There was at one stage there was plane loads of Donegal people coming over, and like I used to go home at Christmas into a bar, and I would see all the same people that I saw in bars in Northbridge in Perth.
That's
It
mad.
yeah, it
That's
was mad.
insane. It's like home
It's a
from
very
home.
Irish thing to happen in regional Ireland, because we have a like. Because the English, they came in, they invaded, they took over. We had the famine. We got generations of people moving to America. And then as soon as something bad happens back home, well, everybody's like, oh, sure, I'll just move abroad for a few years. We're used to
Right.
it, you know?
Gotcha. Well, that's really good. I want to kind of get into this real quick. So recruitment. So Robert Walters, you went to several interviews, they chose you chose them. And how did that happen? And what sector did you work in?
Did technology for 3 years. I did the broadband.
Developers, contract, perm, what did you
Did
do? Like
everything
field
for the first
testing?
year, and then I basically inherited this guy's desk, and
Oh, what a result.
oh man, and I just built like crazy. I mean, manager was the most connected person in the market. Now, I did work harder than the other people, but it was all on a plate. I probably didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. Like now,
Yeah.
looking at it and having
At least
worked
you're
in that
honest about it
direction,
now. At least you're
I can
honest. A lot
be.
of people that are given that opportunity just make out that it was all them. So at least you're honest about that. Do you know what I mean? So.
And then they knew that I had it too good, so they divided up my desk and hired loads of people, and I ended up doing a niche sector with an infrastructure beyond that. And I still, but I had the skill set, and my skill set evolved because they narrowed me down and were like, hey, we're taking all the gravy. You have to go feed yourself now. But I had
Right.
so much help and gravy from them that, like, it was handy, you know?
Right, gotcha. Okay. And so would you do in contract? Would you do in perm
I was
or
more perm. I couldn't really get my head around contract. I preferred going and working in long-term vision of stuff, and the IT stuff, like, intellectually stimulated me. In contract, it's just calling up annoying and managers, like trying to get like three in here and two in there and stuff like
But what was the market like? Because right now over here it's obviously candidate led. So at that
that.
time, when you got into it, what was it like then? So was it,
Not as
candidate
hot
led?
as it is right now, but it's like they're one of five brands in that market of 1 million people, like that are well known. So we had a clean database. There was a top 100 client list that I just had to refine and make sure, like, whoever was before me, like, did they piss them off? If not, what can we do better? Go out, do meetings, do coffees. Just all happens. You just do the activities, and the
So it's
activities
like
there.
50-50, like in terms of like the client development, client relationship side, as well as the candidate side.
Yeah, it was, but no, it definitely was. But I quickly realized that there was a lot of time being wasted in like doing too many meetings. There was a bit too much client engagement in the meetings for me. So I used to sit at my desk and just bill like crazy.
But who made you do
And
the meetings? But who made you do those meetings? Why was that like part of the KPIs, part of
that
your.
was part of the KPIs, five client meetings a week. And in doing five client meetings a week, like in a small niche market, I was just like going over the same stuff, talking to the same
Right.
people. Like I had no interest in it. Like as soon as I got my top 30 clients or whatever, I was like, okay, you can all do the client meetings. I know that Robert Walters has a candidate sharing system, so I was almost like I had a team of resources doing it, and I was quicker to the gun and placing them all, and I would do my own as well. So I just systemized it, and I built loads of money, and I had to work less in my third year. But that led me to be like start looking at the 4-hour work week and how
Wow, back then, wow. Okay. So what was, we said you're billing. So what were you billing? I mean, what was your best year there?
half a million Australian. So I think I'd kind of did like between 350 and half a million every year. But
Right.
honestly, a lot of it was handed. Like I did the
Wow.
work, but I can't describe a good marketplace, a brilliant manager, a clean database, clients, an advertising budget. Like as somebody who's ran their own business now, I'm like, That's pretty sweet, no? And a team around him who are all doing like micro niches that
All chipping
aren't,
in towards, chipping in towards,
yeah,
contributing,
great, no?
contributing, as it were.
Yeah, and really like good morning meetings. Like I didn't enjoy them then, but from an owner's perspective now, I'm like, wow, they really like, because you're accountable, you're educated, and you just get better every time.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Superb. It's really good. So that was when you got the recruitment bug then. You said, you thought, do you know what? I want to do this. I like this industry. This is what I want to do.
And yeah, I remember going on a meeting with one of the guys I was working with, and he was like, oh yeah, well, this job's just a stepping stone for me, and I'm sure it is for you. And I was like, no, I've been pulling pines for 6 years. I'm delighted with this. I'm like
Yeah,
that,
you love it.
like I'm finally good at something. I'm just going to keep doing this. Like that. I don't need to, I'm not doing something else. No way. Like that feels like too much work again. You know?
Excellent, excellent. So, what was Charlotte doing? Where was Charlotte working?
She got into haze, and then she used to meet me at her lunch break crying. She couldn't handle the pressure, right?
No,
And
come on, man, really?
seriously, man, she just couldn't handle the pressure. And then I was out drinking one night. I met the internal recruiter from BHP because she's from the same hometown as me. I'm telling you, everybody's connected to my hometown.
Wow.
And she was like,
Internal
hey,
recruiter from where? BHP. What's that? From.
massive mining company.
Right, okay, in Australia.
So we're drinking, right? And it turned out I was one of her temps when I was in uni. I did some type of paper selling thing one day. I can't remember, but got chatting, got laughing about that. And she's like, oh, hey, would you like a job as an internal recruiter? And I was like, I would be the worst internal recruiter in the world. Like, I like this agency stuff. I'm just going to do that. But I said, you need to speak to my wife. And she was like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, I said,
So
Shire.
you married by then? You were married then by then?
Sorry, it was
Right.
my girlfriend at the time.
Right.
Girlfriend at the time. So used to calling her my wife. And so Charlotte, I go to Charlotte, go over and speak to her now. She goes over, they're best friends in the next 20 minutes. Charlotte gets to triple her money from what she was on in Hayes, becomes an internal recruiter, does that for a
Wow.
bit, goes to Chevron, becomes an internal recruiter at Chevron, becomes a team lead, does all of that.
Wow. Okay, gotcha. Right, I see. So you're both pretty much like just kind of like developing your career path in recruitment, you know, doing pretty well, doing pretty well.
Well, yeah, because we're
Living the
young,
dream, right?
double income, living in the sunshine. And like she'd had a good like EA career in London before, but like me, I thought I'd made it, you know? So, and all my buddies, you know, they're all agency owners now or like CEOs, like they all started off with me back then. And like I think anybody has a chance to move and live abroad and get an experience in recruitment abroad. It's just the best thing, you know? Get to work with such great people. Really, the cream of UK recruitment are all around the world. And they've had to go out and fend for themselves and make their own patch where they're not just doing account management in London, you know?
Sure. No, I did. I worked overseas 5 years. I worked in Atlanta for 4 years, a year in Miami, way back. And I don't want to give away my age, but I mean, but yeah, and the best thing I've ever done. I mean, just learned so much, great experience. And I went out there with my girlfriend, who's my now wife. So we both similar to you and Charlotte, but just a different part of the world and in a different industry. I was in the advertising sales industry then, so not in recruitment. But that's amazing. Cool. So it's living the dream. So why did you? I mean, so was it the visas situation? Why you came back, or what happened? I mean, because that
No, I
sounds
got
nice.
back.
That sounds pretty
Listen,
sweet.
like everything in my life, she bullied me into it. So she decided that it wasn't like Australia wasn't for her anymore and almost started getting me thinking about moving to the States. And I did always want to move to the States. Anyway, the market was kind of turning and her job was under threat. My job would have been fine, but we had to make a call. And when you're on the other side of the world, you need to make a decision. Is this forever or is it a period? And we were pre-kids, all of that stuff. And she steered us in this other direction. So we decided we go to Canada. But it just so happens that all my generation there, they all kind of left. So there's only a few of the boys still left over there. They all either went back home or on to the next. So we went, We first off, we went to Thailand and started living in Central or in Southeast Asia. We started writing, she was writing resumes, and I was selling a resume writing service to all the people who
Right.
wanted jobs in Chevron because she had the keys to that. So we
And
made
how did that work? I mean, so you just how did you promote that business?
just like you do anything, you look
What
at
year was this?
2014, maybe. So yeah, I just look. Like anything, like I look at business, I reverse engineer stuff. So who's doing it already? What do they do? And then I looked at like, who are we targeting? And then it was really simple of everybody wanted to get into Chevron. The market was tight. They thought that Charlotte may have had some proprietary knowledge, and then her writing their resume may have helped. And it may have, but you
So how
sell
would she
it.
get those? So how would she get those individuals that wanted to work for Chevron? How do they know of her? Or how do they know that she was doing the CV writing
Look,
thing? How
that's
is
a good question. And one of the things that we did early was we built our LinkedIn accounts. So I added everybody to my LinkedIn account, all the clients, all the candidates, all the rest. And Charlotte did the same. So
right.
we left Perth with this like absolutely brilliant database of Perth
So you knew
that.
that. So when you left to Australia, you knew that's what you wanted to do.
No, I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, so you just had that anyway from your work.
Yeah, I thought maybe I'd have a recruitment agency someday, but I also knew that I was very sheltered in working for Robert Walters, that there was a lot of stuff, and Charlotte definitely didn't want to do that. Like she wanted high heels, nice dress, working in an office, like whatever that meant, internal recruitment type thing, right? And yeah, so we just were able to like promote our LinkedIn and made a bit of money. We got it, and then that started me going like, okay, how do I. She started saying to me, I'm doing all the work, you're just selling it. And I was like, yeah, okay. So what does the work mean? And then we were like, well, it means this, this, and this. So then we broke it down, and then we were able to go, okay, well, what would Tim Ferriss do in the 4-hour work week? So we were able to like start researching virtual assistants and making our mistakes in that and all the rest. We did that for a bit, right? Came back, moved to sen came back a wee bit, then moved to Central America. Did that there, lived in Guatemala. And then it was time to get our visas to go to Canada. So we got engaged
Why
along the
Canada?
way.
Why there?
She
Cold, man.
wanted
It's
she, she,
freezing.
I know, I know, I know. She wanted to go to Canada. I was miserable. It was freezing. Right. So I interview everywhere in Canada. We did a wee recce mission, like went up,
What part of Canada? So
visited.
is you like Montreal, Toronto, which
No,
part is a good
man.
city?
We went to Calgary. It was a dump. And well, it wasn't a
Wow.
dump. It was just like, it was a bit of a
Boring,
not
right?
event. Yeah, a bit boring. But the skiing was amazing. So anyway, I end up in Canada, and the market's still good. The day I arrive is the 2015 oil crash in the oil capital, right? So I'm like,
No
oh
way.
no, she hasn't got a job yet, right? And so I'm working for this company called David Acland Group, and they're like an old mom and pop shop, but they're national. They'd be suitable if you were like an old-fashioned search recruiter that had a
For the
network,
recruitment firm.
but didn't know how to run a recruitment business. It was like it was kind of like a house for independent recruiters, where they would give the house half their money. Like, anyway, I arrived that day. The next day, my boss leaves, and then I'm kind of working with the owner, kind of like hiring people for my team, trying to like do all the stuff before. And long story short, it didn't work out. I give it a go for about 10 months, learned a
Well,
lot. It was a real
what sort of sector are
slog.
you in? What sort of sector?
Yeah,
What sort of level?
tech. Just tried to
Tech
do
again.
tech, tried to fill jobs,
Damn.
tried to get jobs on. Learned in that moment how much I was handed an RW, how
Yeah.
much that this wasn't. And we kind of like, I'm probably skipping quite a bit here. Like Charlotte had quit about six jobs in this year.
Did she?
And I'll tell you a funny story. So we went in the interview process, right? I get offered a gig with a company called NES Global Talent, big recruitment company. It was a good
Right.
job, but I wanted to do this because the commission split was so high and the salary was all right. And I wanted to see what I'd be like working with no help.
And this
And
is in Canada. This is in
this is in
Calgary, right?
Canada. So I turned down the NES crowd. Anyway, your man kind of got wind that I was struggling. So he calls me up. let's go out for a drink. So me and him go out drinking. Where I'm not going to name his name. So we had good crack, went out drinking, and I said, he said, oh, well, I need to fill these jobs. And I was like, so, the recruitment jobs that he's trying to fill. I said, okay, grab.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, look, my wife,
You've got these
my,
perm tech,
I said,
roles, right?
my wife is an independent recruiter. And he's like, really? And I said, yeah, absolutely. She'll have a meeting with you tomorrow. We were like 10 pints in. I come home hammered. Wake up, Charlotte. You need to remind me in the morning that you've got a meeting tomorrow with NES Global Talent to be a rec to rec, right? I said, she wakes up. She's like, you were talking some mad stuff last night. I said, no, not mad stuff. You got two jobs on and you're a rec to rec. You're not working right now. You just quit that other job. She goes, does a meeting, fills the job, and we make a load of money, right? And I was like,
Wow.
this is amazing. And because she is actually a really good recruiter, Charlotte, like she's a lot better
Yeah.
than me. And from there,
Light
then,
bulb moment, that was it.
yeah, well, sort of. He then said, would you like to work as our internal recruiter? So she got to do that. And in it, she started getting resumes to all these from all these people, like overseas rec recs and this. And she got to see like how everything was done badly and all the rest. So we were like, look, this isn't working. For both of us, really. So we're like, let's just go back and set up our own business. We went to Guatemala, set up our rec to rec business. We had four or five clients to start. Obviously,
Where were they? Where were the clients? Were they in the UK
no,
clients?
so we were able to work with so like it was pretty easy in rec to rec. So we were able to work with
Yeah.
NES to start. And
Okay.
then there was three other places I interviewed with, so they became clients. And
Right.
then I reached out to my old colleagues in Australia. They became clients. And then we started bringing candidates to market, being noisy on LinkedIn. People started messaging us. And then we were in Guatemala and we were like working all the time. And we couldn't really tell people at the time this is what we were doing because it wasn't like this is 2015. It wouldn't have been the thing to do then. People still felt like you had to be in. Like in the office and in the city. So we did that and we did that for a period of time and made a few deals, started going all right, moved back to Europe, traveled around Europe, and then things just started getting a wee bit more serious, you know?
Right, gotcha. Superb. Well done. So that was it. So it started. So basically, the rec-to-rec business started in Canada, essentially. And
Canada and
then,
then
ah,
Guatemala, first deals done in
Guatemala.
Guatemala, yeah.
But I had no idea. I just thought it was from, over here in the UK. I didn't realize it was
Yeah.
that. And looking after international clients. And he came back to, was he Guatemala? Came back to the UK and then took it more seriously and then kind of grew it to where you are now with the VAs and so forth. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, like, if I go to present day now, we have like, so we help recruitment companies scale. So we've got our mastermind that you did. Charlotte
Yeah.
does advisory for bigger businesses. So she has like 5 50-man businesses that she works with at the moment. And then she's starting to work with a lot of mediums, like 20-man businesses, where she does,
Yeah.
you know what she does? She goes in and she just
So
fixes
when
everything.
did you realize that? Because obviously you've got the rec to rec stuff going really, really well. I mean, clearly recognizing the UK, clearly recognizing you in LinkedIn as being like the rec to rec guys, without a doubt. Very, 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 really
Yeah.
good footprint, doing successfully well. But when did you have the inclination that let's take this a bit further, or what made you think that you could do that you could then bring out other similar businesses of spin-offs off the back of what you had grown? I mean, what was it? Did you think that the market needs it, which it does clearly, but I mean, but what made you get to that point
Well,
in
the pandemic did, like
really?
we like 90% of our business was international rec to rec. It shut off in in one day. We went from 55 interviews happening and it started just going
Yeah.
bink, bink, bink. And until it got to zero. And then I had a team of people to pay for. And we were
Right.
in Santa
I thought it was
Barbara.
before that. I didn't realize it. I thought you were doing it
No,
before
I started doing that there. And then
that.
a
Okay.
couple of things happened. So I had Andy Hallett come in and have a look at my business beforehand. And it was good to get another voice to kind of challenge me and challenge Charlotte, especially because she's so headstrong. And what came out of that was that like I wanted to scale a proper business and Charlotte wanted to protect the little nest egg.
And
And
this is pre-COVID. This is
yeah,
before.
This is pre-COVID. And then
yeah,
where we got to was that Charlotte did want to not grow a business, but she did want a luxurious lifestyle. And in order for her to get to that point, she had to agree to this here within parameters. So that was anybody who doesn't have an advisor in their business or hasn't gone through that process should try it, because it then set the conversations up. So myself and Andy were in a couple of WhatsApp groups for other recruitment founders. We didn't like it. And I was like, I can do this better. And he goes, well, I've got loads of connections too. So we were like, cool, let's set up RecWire. And now we've got like 1,000 members of RecWire, recruitment owners, which you're a part of, from all over, yeah, from all over the world. And during that then, I set up RecWire, where Charlotte was like, why are you wasting your time with this? And I was like, look, trust me, let me set up the ecosystem and other things will happen. Because
wow. Okay.
And then I volunteered to...
So how long did you do that for? I mean, how long has it been going now, RecWire?
2 years.
2 years, okay. So that was around COVID time. It started around COVID
time,
pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. COVID time. And in that, I volunteered to coach 5 or 6 companies for free. And I did that in the dinghy. And why I did that was I did it to get the framework of the mastermind together. So I wanted to get the stuff out of my head.
Yeah.
That was a mixture of what we'd learned in big businesses and professional recruitment, virtual assistants, marketing expertise, automation, technology, like how to run a business properly, and then like how to do podcasting and how to do all of that under an umbrella. But I needed to get the framework together and I needed to be challenged. So
right.
I needed people to go, that won't work, that will work, that won't work, you know. And so we did that, and then we did Mastermind 2 and 3, and I think we're on Mastermind 12 now. And then during that process, what I knew very quickly was that Charlotte would outgrow it. So then I had to work out how I would get that on to like to free her up. And a large part of that was getting it on Kajabi and getting that professionally done, because I knew that she would outgrow it. And now I'm able
to... You're missing loads out, though, because I mean, because it's, you know, but we're running out of time as well. I mean, I'm just conscious of that. But the whole VA bit sits behind that as well. That was going on in the background in terms of, you know, VA can help the business grow. I think that's really, really interesting as well.
It's kind of through that, then I listened to the different communities that we had, and I could tell that they do need advice with tech. They do need advice with operations. They do need advice with learning and development. They do need to know where they can get finance from. So, like, I suppose we have right now, we have RecWire. We offer VAs as a service. We do back office into recruitment firms. We do RecDirect. And we got the Mastermind and Charlotte's Advisory. But it's all stuff selling to the one person. So, so my morning meetings, or every second morning I have a meeting, it's pretty simple, because I'm able to kind of go, like I run a desk, and Andrea helps me with that. Irina runs a desk. You know, Siobhan runs a desk. Yovana now runs consultancy, and like her with Charlotte on that. And then it's just, it all kind of works to the one purpose. So, and look, we've just moved to Gibraltar. So,
How is that? How's it all going? I mean, are the kids, what is that like? Are the kids, have they found schools for them yet, et cetera? And
it's tough, right? That bit's tough. So firstly, I'm a simple man. Like the sun's shining. I got my personal trainer downstairs. We're in this nice complex. I got my jiu-jitsu class across in La Línea de Concepta, which is just the Spanish border. So I'll get on my wee electric scooter tonight. I'll spin over. Our office is just down there, but it smells of fried chicken. So we're trying to move that office pretty quickly, because Charlotte isn't a fried chicken type girl. and then I suppose the stuff with the kids then is they're all right, but they're a bit spoiled at the moment, you know, because we kind of think they're on holidays. But at the same stage, we're waiting for the oldest to get into school. The other guy, they're both are in Montessori.
What age are they? What age are the two boys? And they've got
5 and 3.
5 and 3. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Busy.
But for me, it's a dream. Like I weighed up America, I weighed up a lot of different places. And because ultimately, like, we're always going to be a lifestyle business. We'll be a profit centric lifestyle business that will grow, but we're not going to have a 50 man business. We're not going to be like a seriously big business. And for everything that we want, this just made more sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think it makes sense as well. I mean, it ticks a lot of boxes for me. I mean, my children are a lot older than yours, so it's not the right time for us to do it right now. But I'm like you, simple guy, love the sun, absolutely love the sun. So to move back in the sunshine again,
That's great.
I think it's a bit of a tax haven where you are as well.
Yeah. So how the tax works, because people will be wondering on that, is you don't get taxed on your foreign-based dividends if you don't do business in Gibraltar. However, you do have to pay some income tax. So it is tax advantageous, not a tax haven for us. However, let's say you were a young guy or your kids weren't in school or you like all of that good stuff. What you could do is set up your company here, not live here or anywhere else for 6 months. So you could build through that, not be a tax resident anywhere. And like, and I was speaking to a guy today who does that. But that, I mean, you can't do that with kids. And anyway, if you have kids and they're in the system, you should pay tax. You should pay some tax because they get the schooling, they get the health, they get all of that. Like, it is good to help out society as
Oh,
well.
absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But no, without that, I think it's a great location. And also, it's not too far from the UK. So it's about, what, 2 hour flight, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, three hours I think, but with a time difference then it's two. So Char flies back once a month to do advisory work. So like for her, it just gives her that taste of getting off the rock, getting into London, like beating up CEOs and not having it. Like you would, you have to see how she's evolved in this advisory game. So she's so used to talking to guys, sales guys like us in recruitment who are sometimes a little bit full of shit. And she just goes in, okay, sure, fine, you're making loads of money, got this, look, you're loads ahead, but show me the data. Okay, pull it up, show me the system. Nobody has their shit together and everybody needs her. She's really
She's amazing. I mean,
vital.
obviously, I've done some one-to-ones with Charlotte. I mean, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, she's really, really, really good. So,
Yeah.
if anyone's doubts that, or I mean,
Yeah.
you know.
Good luck to them if they doubt her.
I mean, she's just
She's
incredible. She really is.
fearsome woman.
But yeah, definitely without a doubt. So what's next then? So 2022, second quarter, sorry. And so what you got? What's next? What can we expect from you two, demon duo in 2022? What's next?
Well, so Charlotte's going to ramp up Rackwired a little bit. So she's going to be working with the partners very closely there just to make sure they get value. We're going to look at really adding lots of more members to Rackwired in terms of the Doherty platform on Kajabi, the advisory platform.
So make
We
that
are
more profitable, sort of like partnering, getting some more partners, companies on there that will.
it's very profitable already. It's great. Just make and a lot of it like is either, well, I'll not go into it, but there's it could be a lot more. It just needs a bit of focus, and I'm really excited about it. So just gonna make sure that that's slick. Because that there feeds everything, like so an ecosystem of buyers feeds everything. You just have to listen to what they want. And in terms of different like offerings and products, it will launch loads of stuff. I want to do a partnership with Dan Alexander, so he's a really good recruitment trainer. So
Yeah,
Dan's
good
going to come
guy.
down here, and we're going to do a rookie to rock star recruitment training program. And then I'm going to get lots more of that stuff because the mastermind and our advisory is great. But it's really suitable to people who know recruitment. And I find that if they don't know recruitment, I'm having to overwork for it because I'm
Yeah,
having
I
to
see
do
that. I mean, I see that some of the individuals are coming through the groups, the WhatsApp groups. I mean, they are rookies, so there's definitely a market for it. And Dan, I've worked with Dan, he's coached me
Yeah, it's great.
for a number of months. He's a really good guy, you
Yeah.
know. So again, I thoroughly recommend that. So I want to start wrapping things up, but I mean, but in terms of your day, so what time do you kind of get out? What do you do? What's going on then? Because I mean, all these different businesses, man, it's like, oh my
Yeah, but
gosh.
but people are doing the work. Like it's all I have people accountable for different things. Like we really trust the people who work for us. So it's not as hectic as you'd think. Like, yes, there's pretty back to back in most times, but so you know, we have a lot of time for our kids, we've a lot of time to work out. We like don't work at the weekends. I think we're almost at a stage now after 7 years where we could take a holiday. But it's taken us a long time to get to that point, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
But yeah, the days like casual meetings with like some of my team members, probably a couple of client meetings, probably a podcast, bit of community engagement, maybe a candidate, like a candidate or two, like because the guys will just be working, booking in calls for
Yeah,
me.
but so are you billing? Have you got a target? Are you actually billing?
Yeah, I've got
Yeah.
a target.
But
I have to bill over 200 a year. look, it's important for me to do that to keep the rest of the team honest. It keeps me honest. It keeps me from, like,
That's crazy because you
I need
weren't.
to keep myself honest. Like,
Yeah,
I
yeah.
have to have I have to do jiu-jitsu and have personal training Monday to Friday, or I'll go drinking, or I'll draw, like, or, and I have to have loads of meetings in the diary, or I'll just not work. Like,
Yeah.
I know myself now how I can get the best out of myself. I suppose that just comes with a bit of maturity, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think you were billing, so I thought that last year, 2021, that you weren't.
I
Then,
wasn't, but I had
yeah.
to build the mastermind. I had to build their VA business. I had to
Right.
build. So I built all of, like I built all of those things, and then Charlotte's like, "If you want to move country, you need to make some money. I need some music."
Oh, there we go. There we go.
So
Oh,
she
I love
gives
it.
me a.
Love it.
So the team had a good laugh that Charlotte gave me a target. Said that she'd come in as the billing manager. I swear to God, she quit in 2 weeks. She quit in 2 weeks on me. She's like, actually, I'm not going to do this billing management stuff. I'm like, so I have to be the billing manager and you're giving me this
Still.
target. She's like, yeah, well, I do lots more than you do. So, okay, fine.
Excellent, mate. Superb, man. Fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Which is kind of, I thought this is really funny how this panned out because I got invited onto the podcast by you, but I said
Yeah.
to you ages ago, I think there's a lot of information that people want to get out and want to understand, like who's behind the curtain, who, how does this guy do what he does, how has the business got to where it's got to?
Yeah.
So I think we just scraping the touching the surface, scraping the surface. I reckon there's a part two, I reckon we should do, man. You
Hey,
know?
part two has to be over one of those 9 pints that you had last night.
Oh my gosh. You can't tell people that story. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's crazy. 9 points and rum shots. Crazy. You know what I mean?
Not
I know.
bad. Not
Crazy.
bad.
Actually, Nathan Adams, when we met up in London at the Rec event, and we went across the road to the Hand and Flower pub. And
Yeah.
we're upstairs, and me and Nathan had a couple of rum shots and that. And then I gave him a shot. And then after about 5 minutes, I didn't see him again. So I need to ask him what happened to him afterwards. It was a big, fat, dirty shot of rum. And then I looked around and he was gone. So,
We'll have to have our next event down here. I think there's a few guys up for it, and
100%.
yeah, be a change of scenery, and yeah, I think it would be great fun.
Definitely without a doubt. I mean, cool, put me down for that. Put me down for that.
All
So
right, let's
I'll do
wrap it
that.
up there, Ian. Good man.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That was really good, man. That was really good.